There's certain questions that a person thinks of each and every year when going through the Chumash. One of them, for example, is that of the Chet Egel, and trying to figure out how Bnei Israel could have done such a thing right after Hashem speaking to them at Har Sinai. But there's another type of mystery, and it's where there's a question that really is a very big and good question, but it's overshadowed by a bigger event, and therefore it's not really on so many people's radar. So for example, when it comes to Akedas Yitzchak, so I'd say 99% of the time, we're focused on everything going on from Avram's perspective and a dilemma about whether to kill his son or not. But we fail to think about Yitzchak's perspective. And what was Yitzchak thinking? Did he know what was happening? What did Avraham tell him? And of course, it must have been difficult for him as well. But that is obviously overshadowed by Avram's test. And it was Avram's Nisan, of course. And in our Parsha, we spend a lot of energy, and rightfully so, on what was Moshe Rabbeinu's sin and Mei Meriva. And there are many Mefarshim and many, many answers into examining his error. What falls to the wayside is when you look at the Psukim, Moshe is not the only one who's commanded. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Kach et hamateh ve'akel et ha'ida. Take your staff, gather the people who it's in the plural, vidibartem elasela, right? Moshe and Aharon were commanded this. A few psukim later, after the famous incident of Moshe hitting the rock, so vayomer Hashem el Moshe v'el Aharon. Hashem says to Moshe and Aharon, that famous punishment of not being able to go into Eretz Yisrael, which of course we focus on from Moshe's perspective, but we fail to think about how this is also Aaron's punishment. And of course, it begs the question of what did Aaron do wrong? Why was he punished like Moshe was? Aaron wasn't the one who said Shimuna Hamorim. Aaron wasn't the one who hit the rock. So why is it that Aaron was punished just like Moshe? So in order to understand the answer, we have to first see what exactly Moshe did wrong. And there are many explanations to what he did, and typically, oftentimes, it's whenever there are multiple ideas to explain something, it usually means that they're not necessarily totally convincing, because if it was very convincing, then there would probably only need to be one idea. But there are many ideas. This is shrouded in mystery. And so here we go. Here's a beautiful idea I saw. I saw it in the Sefer Otzar Torah, and I also read it based on an article from Rabbi Tzvi Patinsky, where the Mesha Chachma quotes Rabbi Yosef Albo. Yosef Albo, who says as follows, says, it's not, Moshe's punishment was not what Moshe did, but it was what Moshe didn't do. And of course, the Mefarshim obviously focus on what he did, like I said those examples before. But Rabbi Yosef Albo says, no, focus on what Moshe didn't do. That's the key in understanding this. So the Meshech Chachma expounds upon this, and he explains as follows. He says that throughout the Torah, we see Moshe constantly turning to Hashem. Either Moshe asks Hashem explicitly, what should I do? That's a lot of the time, or sometimes Hashem appears to him and instructs him what to do. But Moshe almost never does something on his own without first consulting Hashem. However, there is an exception to this, and the exception is in last week's Parsha. When Korach rebelled against Moshe and Aaron, and he felt he deserves to be basically the leader of Bnei Israel, so it was Moshe, not Hashem, who came up with the idea to do the test with the Ketores. And it was Moshe who said that the punishment would be the ground would swallow them up. That was not from Hashem, that was from Moshe. And Moshe, in that situation, Moshe acted, and then he assumed that Hashem would follow through on what he said. This is an idea known as tzaddik goes there, HaKadosh Baruch Hu mekayem. A tzaddik decrees something, and Hashem is going to follow through on that, from the words of the tzaddik. We see Eliyahu does this as well, and there are a number of Nevi'im that do this, but Moshe almost never ever does this, except last week. Now, this is just last week's Parsha. So what happens? This week's Parsha, right, shortly after, Bnei Yisrael don't have any water, and they're scared they're gonna starve to death, and they turn to Moshe, and they say, help us. So what does Moshe do? He goes to his default. He goes to Hashem, says, the Bnei Yisrael are thirsty, help them. So Rav Yosef Alba says that the mistake was that Moshe, once again, should have just acted and done something right away instead of turning to Hashem. Bnei Yisrael, you know what they're thinking? When they saw Moshe turn to Hashem instead of acting, they said, oh, Moshe, so I understand. I know when you want to act. When you feel personally attacked, just like Korach. Korach was attacking Moshe himself. Right? So Korach was attacking Moshe's reputation, and it was a personal attack to him, and therefore, that's why he acted. Right away, I have to act. So Bnei Yisrael feel, oh, so you care about yourself, and you don't care about our needs. And it was a mussar to him that he should have acted right away, just like he did for himself, he should have acted for them. But this notion of not always having to turn to the boss, not always having to turn to Hashem, but to be able to act, and then to ask Hashem to follow through on that which he wants to do, that's what was supposed to happen, says Rav Yosef Alba in the Meshech Chachma. And we see this idea, we see it expressed elsewhere in the Torah, where when Bnei Yisrael were at the Yam Suf, right after leaving Mitzrayim, they thought they were going to die. The Mitzrayim were behind them, the Yam Suf was in front of them, and they were davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they were screaming out. And what does Hashem do? It was a very perplexing line in the Torah. Hashem says, Ma titake lai, like, why are you screaming to me? Go, let's go, figure it out, do it. Let's go, take some action. This isn't the time for tefillah. And of course, we always learn, no, there's always a time for tefillah. But Hashem's saying, no, there's not always a time for tefillah. Sometimes you have to act. And Ritzi Patinsky says that if Moshe was punished for not taking action, then there's no one in this whole story who took less action than Aharon. Right? Aharon, the whole question of what did Aharon do wrong, the answer lies in the question, because Aharon, in fact, did nothing. And Aharon should have done something. And there are moments in time when a leader has to report to their boss, to their superior, but there are times when they have to act. And once Moshe didn't act when Bnei Yisrael were thirsty, so Aharon should have stepped up, and Aharon should have done something. Right after Korach's rebellion, of course, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in a very public fashion, established Aharon as the rightful Kohen Gadol. Aharon was respected by all of Bnei Yisrael, and Aharon should have acted here. And in most years, this week's parsha is usually paired with Balak. And at the end of Parshas Balak, we have the story of Pinchas. And Pinchas, he epitomized this idea of acting and not necessarily waiting, not asking. Pinchas saw a terrible act of rebellion against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He saw a disgusting, despicable act. And he took matters into his own hands, took a spear and killed two people. And that he was praised for this. And therefore the following Parsha is Pinchas. He gets a Parsha named after him. And there are times in life where we have to be cautious. But there are times in life when we have to take matters into our own hands. It's important, of course, to be able to evaluate every situation, to know which model is necessary. And we should all have the courage to act and act l'shem shamayim when the time calls for us to do so. And maybe be able to stand up when no one else is doing so.